we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we get to my man, Mr. Greg Schwartz, and we go to him to talk about the big trade that happened last night. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing good. Thanks for me on today.
Hey, man, no problem, no problem. So the king is home. You know what I'm saying? One of the big cogs in one of the big pieces of fan favorite, Delly's back. You know, but we got some other pieces in that trade. Multiple first round picks. John Henson, a long, lanky guy who actually I've always watched him from afar. Kid from North Carolina. Always a decent rim protector. A guy that looks to be a piece added as well. What are your thoughts on the trade? And a lot of people want some breakdown on those first round draft picks and when they're going to come about. What are your thoughts on the trade with Delly and those guys?
Oh, I was really happy about the trade. I think finally the Cavs are doing the right thing. You know, they try to talk themselves into thinking they were contenders going into the year. Obviously, they are not, as they sit here with 5 wins as we're approaching Christmas. And they're doing the right thing. After the Kyle Korver trade, they realized, you know, the best thing we can do is trade off these veterans that have a little bit of value. You know, there's still teams that could use them, contending teams. Obviously, Cleveland's not that anymore, so the best thing to do is sell these guys off while they have value and collect these draft picks. And if you can get, you know, additional assets by form of players or contracts or stuff like that, you know, all the better. I think the most important part of this trade is the first-round pick. And they have to kind of wait because Milwaukee already owes their 2019 first-round pick to the Phoenix Suns, and that can be deferred because it's protected as well. And because of the Stepien rule, first-round picks cannot be traded in back-to-back years. So basically they have to wait until Phoenix gets their first-round pick from Milwaukee, and then Cleveland will get theirs from Milwaukee 2 years after that. So the earliest they can get that first-round pick is 2021. I think it's more likely that they get it in 2022 based on the protections of it, which is fine. You know, by that time, the Cavs could be good again, and they can flip that pick for talent just like the Bucks are doing now. So that's kind of the crown jewel of it. They pick up an extra 2021 second-round pick from Milwaukee. That's unprotected, so that, you know, if Milwaukee's bad by then, and that's number 33, 34 overall in the draft, you know, that ends up, that's almost like a first-round pick, so that's really good. Basically for Milwaukee, it came down to, we want George Hill. He's going to be a part of our playoff rotation. We could use another ball handler to help Giannis and Antetokounmpo. But also, this really helps their salary cap space, because now they don't have to pay Delly next year, which, if you're the Cavs, you don't need salary cap space like, you know, a Milwaukee team does, that they need to re-sign Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, some of their key free agents. If they want to make a splash in free agency with a good team, they can do that. The Cavs don't need the salary cap space now. They don't. If they can afford to pay Delly $9.6 million next year, they can afford to pay John Henson $10 million next year. And the good thing about that is, if they want to flip those contracts next year, if they want to trade Delly, or if they want to trade John Henson, you know, a lot of teams are always looking for expiring deals. So they accumulated assets, which is the best thing that they can do at this point as they continue to lose. They get a guy that will, quite frankly, he'll sell tickets in Dellavedova, and he'll be fun to watch. And John Henson's going to be out for a while with wrist surgery, but they could potentially get him back in February, and he could turn out to be a nice player for him.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I wanted to, you know, what this means that Colin Sexton, you know, we can see what this means for him. He's not looking over their shoulder. He can kind of expand his game. He gets the ultimate green light now. We can see what his game is going to turn into, how he's going to move on the court, maybe spread his wings out there. I think Delly is going to be a great hands-on type mentor. I don't know if George Hill was that kind of guy. I mean, I'm not saying that George Hill was a bad guy in the locker room by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I think Delly will bring that infectiousness back to Cleveland, and I think it'll be a good look.
Yeah, I think it's a good pairing, because when Delly comes in, he's not going to have the expectation of saying, well, I have to be a starter. I think he knows by now his role in the league is to be a backup, to bring energy, to be the second or third string point guard and play good defense. I think, you know, he's 28. He knows what his role is in the NBA now. Colin Sexton, I don't think he was going to be moved out of the starting lineup anytime soon. He was inserted in the starting lineup when George Hill hurt his shoulder. George Hill comes back, and, you know, instead of making a decision, well, who's going to start, who's going to come off the bench, I thought Larry Drew made the right move. He decided to start both of them at the two guard positions. I thought that was smart. That way you're not benching your rookie, who you're kind of building the franchise around right now, and you're not rubbing, you know, George Hill the wrong way and saying, well, you have to come off the bench for this 19-year-old kid. You know, they were smart, and they just started both of them and tried to keep up their value high. So now you really don't have to worry about that. If you want, you can put Rodney Hood back at shooting guard. You can put Chetty Osmond at small forward. You can bring Larry Nance Jr. back as a full-time member of the starting lineup at power forward, and that gives you a little bit more size, good athleticism there too, especially now that Nance is starting to shoot and hit a couple threes. So I think with Delly, I think he knows what his role is. I think he's going to be more than happy to be a mentor to Colin. I think the practices are going to be really fun when those two are kind of going after each other. They've got a similar type of mentality where they're not going to back down, and they love all the challenges of guarding some of the best point guards in the league. And I think it's going to be a really good pairing to have Dellavedova and Sexton together.
Talking to Greg Schwartz from the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and he's with the Bleacher Report. I want to kind of switch gears and talk to you a little bit about, you know, go around the league a little bit. You know, what do you think? We hear you know, the things going on with the Lakers and Carmelo Anthony. It's fascinating to me in league how fast you can just fall off, how quickly you can be up 1 minute and down the next. Usually in the NBA, I always look at it like this, man. If you get traded twice within like 12 months, like, it's a wrap. Like, you gotta, like, if you get traded twice or you move a couple jerseys, that's not a good thing. When Carmelo Anthony got traded a few times, I was like, oh, this could be the beginning of the end. You know, the reports of him, like LeBron not going to Magic and you know, him not really lobbying for Carmelo. Is Carmelo Anthony officially finished in this league?
No, I don't think he is. I think by the end of this year, he's going to be on an NBA roster. Right now, we've got December 15th coming up, which is kind of a key day because that's when you can trade free agents that you sign this summer. So we're going to see a little bit more player movement then. The trade deadline has been moved up. It's now in early February. So I think a lot of teams are going to try. I think Carmelo Anthony's probably a couple teams' plan B or plan C at this point. I don't think that's their main, like, oh, we're going to go get Carmelo and that's going to solve all of our problems. I kind of went on, as soon as Carmelo, the news kind of came out that he was not going to be with Houston anymore, that Houston was going to part ways, I tweeted out at the time, this was maybe a month ago, I said, I guarantee you this ends with Carmelo Anthony on the Lakers. It just screams a move that's going to happen. Number one, because of his relationship with LeBron. Obviously, the Lakers aren't afraid of bringing in unique personalities, strong personalities, whatever you want to call it, with all the free agent signings that they made this summer. And I just think that they could use another veteran on that team. I really do. They've been playing pretty good basketball lately. But if anybody is going to milk kind of the best out of Carmelo and maybe try to utilize him the best, I think it's LeBron. You look 3 years ago when they brought J.R. Smith into Cleveland, you know, how many people were kind of writing J.R. off at that time after his kind of fall in New York and, you know, just questioning if he could be a capable NBA player. And he was a very good starter for a couple years here. And I think a lot of that was due to LeBron. And I really think this is going to end with Carmelo in Los Angeles with the Lakers. I don't know. I'm looking around the league. I don't know who else would be interested in him right now. And I just think with that relationship between LeBron and Carmelo, I mean, we're talking going back to high school. Just the bond that they've had, I think it's going to end up with Carmelo and the Lakers. But I also think it's not going to be immediate. I think we're going to have to see, you know, maybe even going into February, how the trade deadline shakes out before he signs there. But, I think Carmelo is going to be in Los Angeles by the time the playoffs start.
All right, 1 minute here. Who are you more worried about, the Spurs, the Rockets, or the Celtics? Who are you more worried about?
Definitely not the Celtics. I'm going to give them some more time. They have to figure out what their best rotation and lineups are, and they're always a team that could spring a trade with their assets. The Rockets, I'm very worried about. I know they thought maybe moving Carmelo would solve their problems. Eric Gordon said some really interesting comments there about not having any fun. And Chris Paul, he's starting that decline. I'd be a little worried about Paul. Yeah, and what was the third team? The Spurs?
Spurs.
The Spurs don't play defense right now, and I don't think I've ever seen a Spurs team that didn't play defense, but they did beat the Lakers last night or the other night, so I'll give Popovich a little bit of time to turn that around, so I'm going to go with Houston.
All right, man. Greg, I appreciate you giving us a call today and breaking this all down for us, and let's do it again, man.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, man. That's Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report.